Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast!
Hello, hello, and welcome to Puckle TCG Cast. This is episode 56. I'm your host, Lord Yashiro, and today we got part 2 of Celestial Storm's review. We're pretty excited. We're going to tackle the Pokemon that basically the protagonists that are coming in the set, and I am super hyped for it. And of course, I'm not going to do this alone. I'm not going to talk by myself, so I'm going to introduce my boys here, starting with, some say that he refers himself in the fourth person. It's Gator.
I don't even know how to do that. I was trying to think quick, but I can't.
You have to talk about
maybe it's one. Existential, like this. Think about that.
Also, some say he doesn't have a good aim. His bullets just know better than to miss. It's... Who are you?
I'm Zekron, and I really... Well, are you saying that I do not hit my attacks? Because...
Oh, I'm saying that your attacks are too scared to miss.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. I am okay with that.
Welcome, guys. Of course, this is the debut of Scrawn here in the TCG cast, so welcome. Well, it's actually the debut. It's you coming back to it, because
yeah,
you were early on with us when we started back in the single digits.
Mm-hmm. I used to be super into the TCG, and since I went to Japan, I kind of fell out of it because I wasn't playing, because like I don't speak very well in technical Japanese, and that's what you really need if you're going to play it, something like a trading card game. So I fell out of the TCG, and now that I'm back and out of college and starting to get my life together, I am finally cruising back into it. And I am...
Baby, it's great to have you back.
And it's great to be here, but I'm not going to lie, it's not great what this thing is doing to my wallet. Shaking my head, mm-mm.
Oh, welcome. Officially then, welcome to the TCG, because that's... You can't have... you can't get close to the stars without getting burned, so it is that. Speaking of stars, we had a real meeting of stars not too long ago at PocoCon. I'm sorry I missed it. Like before reporting.
Where's Yashiro?
Where
is Yashiro?
Working hard in Thailand, you know. Saving those kids, you know. Getting communications with the guy from Tesla. It was just amazing. But enough about me. How was PuckleCon, Gator, and what happened when I was not here regarding the TCG?
Well, besides Maximus legit believing you were in the Caribbean, we had our first like super legit tournament of the weekend. That was the TCG tournament on Saturday of PuckleCon. And I, of course, got to judge that and had a great time doing so. We had 8 participants. We even managed to snag a couple of people that hadn't shown up for anything before. They hadn't showed up in the chat or anything like that. So shout outs to them and shout outs to everybody that just kind of grabbed a deck and jumped into it. But overall, our winner was, drumroll please, Seth Thilo was our number one. He was playing a Nangadel Beast Box deck.
I assume not the Pikachu deck.
No, no, it was not Pikachu. He was playing the Nangadel Beast Box, and he ended up clinching it. He had a good day. You know, Sublime was there. Sublime had a really strong showing for the entire tournament, but, you know, our top four on that tables could have been anybody's game, but Seth Vilo was able to go undefeated throughout the entire day. So congratulations to you, Seth Vilo.
One of the fun things about facing Seth Vilo is that he's not like most people who would, like, typically you would expect to win, get in the top cut of tournaments and stuff. Like, if you're losing to Seth Vilo, you're going to lose with a smile on your face.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He had a very, if you guys were able to watch the stream, you were able to see him pilot his Sableye coffee deck, play Matt there. He, it was a good time. Everybody had a great time, and we're looking forward to next year having a bigger tournament, a bigger turnout, and honestly, the prizing was really good, too. I think he walked away with 10 or 15 packs for only having 8 people in the tournament. So
He got a copy of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, right? No, that was the next day deck tournament. Yeah,
the theme deck tournament had that, which, you know, we had two of those go off as well. We had two theme deck. We had a theme deck tournament, and we had two of the pre-release booster tournaments. So everybody got a pre-release box. And we had decks made off of the pre-releases, and we had some people pull some off some cards. And so it was a great time for everybody.
That was super fun.
That sounds fantastic. And guys, next year, PuckleCon will be happening, and I hope I'm definitely going to be there next time. And I hope you guys at home are as well, because it's always great time. It always feels more like a family reunion more than anything else, so highly recommend it. And I definitely miss, you know, if it weren't for those pesky kids in Thailand, and that out of context sounds really bad.
I'm gonna start flipping all these, like,
for those of you that are missing these references, you need to go back and listen to the PuckleCon episode. Yes, it's a live show, and I know a lot of people skip live shows, but we had really good mics set up. It's very listenable. I listened to it the other day again, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, no, it sounds fantastic. And for those you that were on the stream as well, that couldn't participate, that were in the stream was also fantastic and had a lot of fun. And even though I wasn't physically there, being able to talk to you guys through Twitch was a lot of fun, and at least it made me feel like I was still there.
Were there in our hearts.
In our heart and the spirit. But we've come here for one mission. That mission is Celestial Storm. Part 2, the Pokemon review. We're going to talk about the GX, the Prism Stars, and a few hidden gems that seems that this set might provide. So let's go ahead and start that. So, as you know, guys, grab your towels and your sandals, because we're headed to Topical Beach.
Yeah.
Grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
Ah, the sun in your eyes, the sand on your feet, and the wind in your face. It's Topical Beach. We're going to review here some Pokemons. And it's an interesting set. Let's put it like that. Celestial Storm definitely has some ups and downs. How many ups, how many downs? Well, we're going to go ahead and start that right now. So let's start with Shiftry GX. This is our first GX to review. It's a Grass Stage 2 with a 240 HP. It has 3 attacks, like most GX do. We got Perplex, which for 1 grass causes 40 damage, and your opponent's active Pokemon is now confused. You got Extra Sensory for 90 plus damage for 1 grass and a double colorless. This attack does 20 more damage if you and your opponent...
90 more damage.
90 more damage if you and your opponent have the same number of cards in your hand. And finally, it's GX attack for the same count, energy count, Phandemonium, I believe that's pronounced, GX, which is shuffle one of your opponent's Pokemon and all cards attached to it into their deck. Let's start this with Gator, because, God, I've missed you. What do you think about Shifter GX?
Well, in typical Gator fashion, I think it's real bad. Hitting 180 for a grass and a double colorless is pretty good. You're hitting 210 with a choice ban. Relevant numbers for a lot of the things that are coming out. But the issue with this is having the same number of cards in your hand. The only real consistent way we have of getting that right now is with Judge, which makes you run Judge in your deck. Because I believe Red Card did not see a reprint in Sun and Moon yet.
No, it hasn't.
Because we had Peeping Red Card. I'm not sure if we had regular Red Card. If we did, I'm wrong, and I'll own it. But based off of what is in my brain right now, it's just really tricky to pull off that consistent 180. And then being a stage 2, that hurts it a little bit. But right now, there's doesn't seem to be a lot of relevant fire types that are coming up in the new meta, and there's not any relevant fire types right now. Yeah. So having 240 hit points and a weakness that's not irrelevant seems pretty decent. And I, of course, always have to give credit where credit's due when they give the GX attack the same cost as the regular attacks. Yes. So
not only is it good competitively, it helps with my OCD.
Well, that and this is a callback, too, because that Phandemonium GX, there doesn't seem to be any kind of clause in it that says you can't do it if they only have one Pokemon. So calling all the way back to Shiftry Donk, where you could shuffle their Pokemon into their hand and make them lose the game that way. If you could, in theory, get this stage two out while they only have one Pokemon, you can shuffle that away and win the game that way. So that is...
Now, how does... In the last episode, we did review one card that actually might make this... Totally your opinion. Copycat. Copycat is being released with this set. Copycat is a support card that shuffle your hand into your deck, then draw a card for each card in your opponent's hand. So it makes you automatically have the same hand as your opponent. Do you think that makes this deck a little bit more playable? Or do you believe that it's still, why would you waste a turn using Copycat just to attack?
I mean, I like Copycat as a card since I wasn't on the show to talk about it. This one's definitely one of my super effectives for the supporters. It's so situational. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a good position with your opponent and they're top decking, for example, do you really want to go down to one card to do 180? You know, that's kind of one of the things you have to figure on it. But we've yet to see what kind of supporters we might necessarily have going forward here. So, yeah. I'll give it my rating. I'm thinking about it now. I'm seeing a couple of things. It's making me really think about it. So I'll have to get back to you.
No worries. So what about you, Scrawn? What do you think about Shifter GX?
My position on this card is two-layered. I think the GX attack is actually not like worth wasting a turn on, and I don't think. But I do like the 240 HP. It basically means it's going to take some real, like a real heavy hitter in order to one-hit KO it. But I do like that extra sensory attack. I think that the Pokemon TCG is set up so it's way easier to deplete your hand down to a certain size than in other card games. And I think if you get a good engine going, it could consistently do that 180 damage. If you're running choice bands and you're facing a GX deck, you could do 210 damage. And 210 is the HP total of a lot of really powerful Pokemon like Zoroark and such. So I think that Shiftry does have a place. Unfortunately, it has that fire weakness. And fire weaknesses are seen on a lot of stuff. So the moment something with fire like starts to be played more, then this is one of the Pokemon's going to take a hit from it.
I agree. Fire, although what how Gator said, fire right now is kind of weak. It's kindling, not as strong as it should be. And for the foreseeable future, at the very least, we don't see fire getting strong. So that does put a hamper. But I do have a problem with the stage two. Right now, grass is pretty slow. I do know that we have Leafeon, and Leafeon allows you to evolve things really fast, but you do need to use that GX attack to be able to make it evolve, and you still need to do it twice, unless you have a rare candy in which you can't use Leafeon's GX attack if you do. Extrasensory is an interesting attack. I do like the numbers. 180, that's 210, like you guys said. Hits a lot of Pokemon right now. It hits Ninetales, a lot of Ninetales GX. It hits most GX, stage 1 GXs. And that's a really beautiful number to have. And for just two energy plays, one double colorless and one grass, that's pretty easy to hit really fast. So in terms of math, I like the math of this card. I just don't know if the support for grass is there to make this competitive. I mean, other than maybe Vikavolt, what thing can we use? It just doesn't come to mind. So with that being said, I feel this is a great potential card that might actually go places, if it receives the support that I think we don't see right now. So with that, I'm going to start with my review, and I will give it a effective, almost going to super effective, but an effective so far. Go for Gator.
So after hearing you guys is going back and forth on it and thinking about it a little bit, I'm going to give it an effective too. But I'm literally dead center of the effective. I could see this going into your binder and never coming out, but I could also seeing it surprise and take first place in a tournament. Like, it's literally one of those things for me. Yeah,
that's the same feeling I have. Scrawn.
I'm going to give it an effective, but less than effective because I actually see the next card we're going to talk about seeing play, but that will be a matter of debate.
Of course. And with that being said, we are going away from the forest and into the volcano. Gator, take it away.
All right, we have Blaziken GX. It is a stage 2 fire type with 240 hit points. For the first attack, it's a double colorless slash, does 60 damage, pretty basic, we've seen that before. Second attack, 2 fire and a colorless explosive kick, does 210 damage. However, you do have to discard 2 fire energy from this Pokemon. And then for its last attack, its GX attack is Blaze Out for 1 fire energy, and you discard 2 energy from your opponent's Pokemon. It's weak to water with a retreat cost of 1.
Now this one's interesting. Scrawn, you mentioned that you saw this. What's on your mind?
I see it, like, the way I see it right now, like, this has crazy potential as a wall breaker right now and expanded. Because you got Blacksmith.
Yes.
And, like, explosive kick and discarding that. I mean, like, there are a lot of discarding fire decks that you can have, and like 210 damage, like, that's crazy. Like, I even think this will be seeing play at some point in the future, like, not now because there's not really the engine for it, but I think it's going to be able to be one of the few things that can break through, like, the decks running for Stakatakas. You know, like that minus
It doesn't go well with Kiawe. Kiawe places 4 energies, this just needs 3, so I don't see why you'll be wasting too much, wasting your whole turn just to power up Blaziken. I do still have issues with the stage 2 part. At the beginning of the arrival of GX, I saw stage 2 Pokemon GX way more prevalent, because we were still getting, you know, our engines running when it comes to the GXs, and many of these powerful two-stage GXs made sense. As we're now progressed, the meta has been accelerating a little bit, either by strong GS basics like the Ultra Beasts, or we've seen stage 1s just taking a hold of the meta, like, Ultra Beast basics like Buswold, and then you got stage 1s like Zoroark, which are really taking the meta by storm. And I don't see, other than either they have ways to accelerate, or they might be too slow to keep up. So that's where I'm at. But everything that Scrawn said, I loved. Yes, 210 knocks out most everything that is not a stage 2 GX. Slash is pretty basic. 60 damage for a couple, double colors. Really doesn't sound like that good. And then Blaze Out, never discount discarding energies. Especially since this one allows you to discard 2 energies and from any of your opponent, that includes bench 1. So it's an interesting point. But Gator, go ahead.
Well, I'll just address a couple of the points you guys brought up. You know, not one to defend this card, but Kiawe does seem to still make sense onto this, because let's say you do attach your 4 energy and you attack next turn. You have to discard 2. Well, that leaves you with 2 left on it.
That's true.
Then you just have 1 attachment for the turn, and then you can kick again. So that gives you 2 potential turns of knocking out a GX. So I do like that for it. However, I think if I'm playing Kiawe in a deck, I'm playing Ho-Oh post-rotation. Yeah. Ho-Oh being a basic just has that much more going for it. And if I'm looking to play fire, I'm not trying to get cute with it. Ho-Oh can hit relevant numbers with choice bands, Kiawe's, and a few other tricks up its sleeve. So
not to mention that having an electric weakness is more advantage right now than having a water weakness.
Exactly. Like, when was the last relevant electric Pokemon we saw? Not all the way back to maybe Joltik.
Yeah.
At least main attacker,
yeah.
Exactly.
Unless suddenly Tapu Koko suddenly becomes a thing again, which I don't think it is.
No. But also to answer one of the points you guys brought up, that's GX attack is the same one that was on Umbreon GX. So that means you can pick and choose which of the energy you get to discard. So that means you can discard a double colorless off of something and still discard another energy. Nice. So that is relevant. But, however, Umbreon saw, like, zero play. So yeah.
And that one evolved really fast because you had the Sun and Moon Eevee with a darkness energy rapidly evolve into an Umbreon. This is a stage two, so you need two turns or a rare candy to get this working. So in that aspect, yes, Umbreon is much more effective.
So yeah, for me, if I'm playing Fire post-rotation or even in this current format, it's going to be Ho-Oh. And then to answer the Expanded thing, again, Expanded has so many tools like Volcanion. Volcanion only works on basic Fire-type Pokemon, and I think that's way too strong of an archetype to ignore to try to start playing with stage twos on it. So that's where I sit on it as far as
okay. Honestly, that's true, but the discarding energy should not be underestimated. That can really let you get the edge on an opponent.
For sure. And when you're hitting for 210, do you really worry too much about powering up your Blaziken? That being said, that is if you manage to get that Blaziken down as fast as you could. Now, let's go ahead and review this card. Scrawn, what's your review?
I'm going to give an... if we're talking about right now, I don't think it's going to be played a lot, so I'm going to say not very effective.
Okay, I'm going for not very effective too. I don't see the support. I don't see how it could become relevant in the state of Fire as we know it right now. What about you, Gator?
Too expensive, not very effective.
There we go. Blaziken, sorry, my boy. You got not very effective across the board for Celestial Storm. You're such a cool Pokemon, man. I hope you manage to get your kicks soon.
Now, get your kicks.
Hey, my boy.
Hey. So let's go ahead and move now from the volcano and into the Arctic. I should really stop with those lame segments. Segways.
That's
take
why
it away, Scrawn.
All right, we're looking at Articuno GX right now, the second coolest of the legendary... coolest with, like, sunglasses and stuff. Anyway, basic water type, 170 HP. It's got an ability, Legendary Ascent. Once during your turn, when you play this Pokemon from your hand to your bench, you may switch your active Pokemon with this Pokemon. If you do, you may also move any number of water energy from your Pokemon to this Pokemon. It's got two attacks. It's got a double water and a colorless attack. Ice Wing, it does 130 damage, and it's got a water attack, GX attack, Cold Crush, and it's discard all energy from both active Pokemon. Has a weakness to metal and a retreat cost of 2.
So I'm going to go ahead and start this one and say, okay, so this is Tapu Koko GX, but water. Basically, it has the same ability, only that it's with water energy instead of lightning. And you, when you play it, it goes into your act. You can immediately send it to the active with all energies that you can attach to it. It deals not the same amount, I believe. Tapu Koko is 110, so this does 20 more damage than Tapu Koko GX. If I'm not mistaken, correct me, guys, if I'm wrong.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah. So it does 20 more damage than Tapu Koko. Its water and Cold Rush is interesting. I don't see in what universe you would want to get rid of your opponent's energies as well as yours, and at the same time not want to kill that Pokemon. Instead, you just get it over with. I do not know where I stand on that GX energy. Overall, though, I do not like that metal weakness. Metal is becoming more prevalent. The Metacross deck GX is getting a lot of support recently. It's been seeing a lot more play. I'm waiting for the next... probably the next one is going to be the Worlds. To see exactly how metal is going. But having a weakness to metal right now might not be in Articuno's best interest. Gator, what about you?
So... I just don't know why you play this card. Like, if you play it, it's a one of in a deck, maybe. But 170 HP is so low nowadays. Especially when you have something like Lapras that's running around at 190 and doing, you know, water stuff too. Discarding all energy from both active Pokemon just sounds to me like you're stalling. And I don't want to use my GX attack for the game to stall. Not unless I'm on Lapras, and then I can take the knockout next turn. This doesn't even set you up to take the knockout next turn. So, yeah, I'm not too keen on Articuno GX.
Yeah. Scrawn,
My thoughts on this are, so my problem is I'm just getting back into the meta, but I'm looking at this and I'm looking at what kind of decks I can put it into. And I think that this has, if you're like, what I know is that there's a really popular supporter, Guzma, running around that forces you to switch your Pokemon as well. So if you're running like two of these in your deck, you could potentially, you know, search out an Articuno, play Articuno, switch out your Pokemon that you have all the energy on, choose not to move any energy, and then like Guzma, and then switch it back and get out what you need. It's a little convoluted, perhaps, but you don't even need to run this as in a water deck, to be honest. Like, it can just be there. Like, the downside of that is that it is 170 HP. Someone can Guzma it and KO it pretty easily. So I'm not too keen on it, but I do think that it gives that necessary, you know, sort of versatility in switching out that maybe water decks or other decks don't necessarily have right now.
I would agree with you, but we do have Dawnwing Necrozma. Dawnwing Necrozma has basically the same rush-in ability Keldeo EX had ages ago, where you just can rush in. If it's in your bench, you can move it into your active at any point. So you can just put a float stone on that bad boy, and you can basically rush in whenever you need to switch out. And that can be played if you're only looking for it to be a EC switch in, so you can switch out the Pokemon that you need, then you will play Dawnwing Necrozma GX normally, because that's the one that currently is being in the works. You guys convinced me that I don't see where this would fit in any water deck right now. Greninja GX obviously doesn't want to be friends with this thing. I mean, why would it? And Lapras GX, being a non-legendary, can already out-damage this thing and out-HP this thing. And I believe it's not weak to metal, which is really important. They believe it's weak to grass? Yeah, Lapras is weak to grass, which right now is kind of weak. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a not very effective. Articuno is one of my favorite legendaries, so I hate to give it a not very effective, but I just don't see its place right now. Gator, what about you?
This is definitely one of those cards where somebody comes to my league and they sit down in front of me and I'm wondering how their deck building is, and I see this on their bench and I don't feel scared of them. So not very effective.
Oh, a burn. And that hurt. Ghostcron.
I think that it's like the rest of these, I think that it's going to have its place after the next rotation when all the other cards we're talking about being better are rotated out. But for now, I'm going to say not very effective.
There we go. So we got Articuno GX, not very effective across the board again. So far, Celestial Storm is really struggling with those Celestials. Speaking of things blowing up in your face, the next one is Electro GX. Now, Electro GX is a Stage 1 Lightning with 190 HP, which is pretty pathetic for a Stage 1 GX. Its ability, Extra Energy Bomber, is pretty close to what we expect Electric to do. Once during your turn, before you attack, you may discard this Pokemon and all cards attached to it. Poor Voltorb. This counts as knocking out this Pokemon, which, by the way, that means two prizes for your opponent. If you do, search your discard pile for 5 energy cards and attach them to your Pokemon in any way you like. And here's the kicker, excluding Pokemon EX and Pokemon GX. Oh boy, I don't know if I should continue reading this one. It's the first attack, Energy Ball. It costs 1 lightning, 1 colorless for 50 damage, and that's it. And it's GX attack, which, to its credit, costs the same as its normal attack, for better or worse. And it's called Crush and Burn GX, 30 plus damage. You may discard as many energies as you like attached to your Pokemon in play. If you do, this attack does 50 more damage to each energy card discarded this way. Weakness to fighting, resistance to metal, retreat quest 1. I don't know. Gator, disgust.
This card's bad. This card's real bad.
It's so bad.
This doesn't seem like it should be a GX.
It doesn't look like it should be a card.
There's no point in... Okay, I'll give you a good example, right? You're giving up 2 prizes to attach 5 energy cards. Why not just play a deck that's running, Turtonator GX, and attach them for the price of your GX attack, for Nitro Tank GX, and it's cheaper. Like, it's 1 energy, and then boom, you're set up and accelerated. There's not a good way to accelerate energy cards into your discard pile. However, I will give it credit where credit it's due. 5 energy cards, not 5 basic, just 5 energy. So that is relevant. However, not being able to attach it to Pokemon EX or Pokemon GX immediately makes it way worse.
Yeah.
So.
It's Scrawn.
Pass.
You pass?
I don't like it. I mean, it's at two prizes. The game is simultaneously about, you know, getting your opponent's prizes but not giving yours up. This seems kind of sort of counterintuitive.
Not only that, do you know how long into the game has to pass for you to have 5 energies of any type on your discard pile? We're talking about you're already many turns in, and at that point you're just freely giving your opponent 2 prize cards? Because if she's like, if you could say like, oh, it's a, you can play this on your second turn and no one has given any prizes, and it's like, you can kill it and you grab 5 energy from your deck and power up your bench, that you might say, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you might say, okay, I can see the plus and cons there, right? It's the beginning of the game, but I'm immediately losing 2 prizes. But I am also powering up something powerful in my bench by sacrificing Electro. No. Not only does this not let you power up something powerful, because it's excluding EX and GX, you also need to have them from your discard pile. And since Battle Compressor is no longer a thing, and it hasn't been a thing for years now, why would you play Electro GX? It just makes no sense. It's not very effective on my end. Gator.
Not very effective. If they just changed the wording to pulling it out of your deck instead of your discard, it would be a super effective for me.
Yeah. And Scrawn.
Not very effective.
Yep, not very effective again. Wow. Yeah, so that's it for Electro GX. When will we ever have a decent Electro GX? Well, we don't have a decent Electro in the game either, so.
You guys are convincing me not to buy a booster box of this set. I was really considering it. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get the new set, get back into Pokemon, and then it's like, oh, not very effective.
I would like to convince all of you to not buy booster boxes of this set. So hopefully by the end of this review, you can be on board with me doing that.
The trainers were so-so, right? Half of them were okay. Were half okay. Half of them were not. But so far,
Pokemon a week after release, you can get all the trainers for like $30.
Exactly.
Play sets of every trainer, and you can spend $30. And
exactly.
Yeah.
The Pokemon is where the money is, quite literally. Now, moving on to a creepy Pokemon. Take it away, Gator.
All right, this is Mr. Mime GX. It is a basic Pokemon. It's a psychic type with 150 hit points. The ability is called Magic Evens. And it says, if this Pokemon would be damaged by an attack, prevent that attack's damage done to this Pokemon if that damage is 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 120, 140, 160, 180, 200, 220, 240, or 260. If it's 280, too bad. It's not prevented.
It's getting through.
Yeah.
Attack for a psychic and a colorless breakdown. Count the number of cards in your opponent's hand. Put that many damage counters on your opponent's active. And for a colorless, for its GX attack, Life Trick GX, heal all damage from this Pokemon. Weakness, none. Retreat cost of 2.
Scrawn, let's start with you this time around. What do you think about Mr. Mime GX?
This is like, I love it. Because there's the other one that's Magic Odds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's, you can like switch between them and it's a good time. But like, given how easy it is to kind of, you know, get Guzma out and switch stuff, I don't think it's very good, but I love the idea. You know, like the GX attack isn't really good. You're using a whole turn to heal up the small amount of 150 HP.
Yeah, just don't put an energy on it and use max potion.
Your opponent can play against it by just depleting their hand every turn. And like, it's kind of easy to control the amount of damage you have since so many decks run Choice Band.
Yeah. Gator, what about you?
Okay, so there's one card that literally wrecks this Pokemon, and it's called Choice Band, and every deck just about runs it. If you want to knock this out, either attach the Choice Band or don't attach the Choice Band. Those are your options, because whichever one you do will knock out this one or the odds one. As far as for the attack, How often, you have to think about this as your opponent and as yourself. Realistically, how many cards do you have in your hand at any given time? I don't usually have 7 cards in my hand. I probably have between 4 and 6. So for 2 to do 60 damage or 40 damage, just I'm not buying it. It's a gimmick, and as anything that's gimmicky goes, sometimes you might get a surprise win out of it, but I don't think this is a deck that I would build this deck for my fun deck to help teach people about Pokemon.
About not what to play?
Well, not about what to play, but I would build this as my fair deck against somebody that put a deck together of kind of cards with their collection.
Like I love the idea behind it because it's Mr. Mime, it's putting up the barrier, like either reflect or light screen, and then like some of the damage will get through, but it's gonna block a whole lot of it.
Yeah. Flavor wise it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have loved this to be like protect your bench kind of thing. Because at least the odd one would have protected your bench against things like Buzzwolt's first attack that does 30 to the bench, or the Greninja GX, which its GX attack does 130 to any Pokemon in play. This would have protected that, kind of like old-fashioned Magikarp, which did exactly that, barrier will protect your bench. It doesn't do that. It protects itself, which is kind of selfish, honestly. But it's also pretty bad. Both attacks are nothing. I mean, you can't, as we previously constantly said on this show, if your attacks or ability depends on your opponent for it to be effective, that either be its amount of cards on its hands or whatever the reason, it's just not good. You want cards that you are in control of what they do, so you can actually have consistency in what they do when you want it to do it. So all around, sorry, Mr. Mime GX, Magic Evens, you're not very effective. Go for Scrawn.
Not very effective.
And go for Gator.
Not very effective.
Oh my god, so let's just storm your
kill. We've got four not very effective.
This set is killing me. Okay. Let's move on to the next one. And this one, I hope it doesn't hurt, because it's one of my favorite Pokemon. Take it away, Scrawn.
Bennett GX. Or wait, isn't it Gator's turn? It doesn't matter.
It's Gator's turn?
No, it's my turn. Never mind.
Oh, did I not just read that Pokemon?
it's okay. Bayonet GX, stage 1, psychic, 190 HP. It has an ability, Shady Move. Once during your turn before your attack, if this Pokemon is your active Pokemon, you may move one damage counter from either player's Pokemon to another Pokemon, yours or your opponent's. It has a psychic attack for Shadow Chant, 30 plus damage. This attack does 10 more damage for each supporter card in your discard pile, but you can't add more than 100 damage this way. It's got another single psychic attack, Tomb Hunter GX. Put 3 cards from your discard pile into your hand. It's got a weakness to darkness and a resistance to fighting, and it has a retreat cost of 1.
So let me go ahead and start with this. But it's GX. It's 190 HP is not bad for a stage... Well, no, sorry, I take that back. It's completely bad for a stage 1 GX. It's really low. Usually they're going for 210s. This does not reach that. Its Shady Move is pretty constant to the theme that Bennett is. It's been the past. It's just move around your opponent's damage counter. But for having it, it has to be on your active in order to move one damage counter. Now, granted, this is one damage counter from either player, right? So if you want to move one damage counter from your team up to your opponent, it's totally acceptable under Bennett. And if you have multiple Bennett's in play, you could do it at least twice, maybe 3, if you can pull it off with a few supporters and item cards help. Don't know why you would do that, but you could if you can. It's a free world. Its attack... It's interesting. One psychic is pretty strong. It means it's going to be able to pull it up pretty quick. And at 30, and you can do up to 10 damage, so up to 130, which is consistent to what normal GXs do for its normal non-GX attack. But it is also dependent on how many supporter cards you have in your discard pile. And that means that if you're only discarding supporter cards that you're using, as it should be the consistent way of doing it, that means this attack will be effective 10 turns in. Or you might be throwing away supporters, which I don't know why you would do that for a maximum of 138 damage in an attack. And finally, it's GX attack. Put three cards from your discard pile onto your hand. Garvador GX does a lot more than that. Other cards do a lot more than that. So overall, I don't see any plus on this card at all, and it pains me. Gator, what about you?
Well, that GX attack is the one that is on Decidueye, and unlike Gardevoir, which shuffles the 10 into your deck, this puts 3 directly in your hand, which can be really dangerous. So I will give it credit for that. Being able to pick any 3 cards you like out of your discard pile and put them into your hand can really change a game up. I like that it's resisting fighting right now. There's a lot of nasty fighters right now, and so it's effectively got a 210 hit point against Buzzwole. So I like that. And honestly, this card is amazing in a meta that is really dominated by Garbodor. So being able to hit 130 for a psychic and doing it with supporter cards, so you know you're trying to not play items, that kind of deal. As it stands right now, maybe as a partner for Zoroark GX, because Zoroark likes getting stuff out of the discard pile, and we did see that Zoroark that's all about the denial that Tord was piloting. So this opens up an option there. Okay. And then running Psychic in that deck, too, if you're playing Tapu Lele, that opens you up to Tapu Cure GX as another possibility. So Psychic, it's got potential right now. I would not be surprised to find a deck with this running at Worlds. I think it's kind of, it's low-key doing some stuff that really could shine in the right deck.
Yeah, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are some trainers coming out that do, like, help Pokemon do more damage if there are a certain amount of damage counters on them, right?
I want to say, yes, the answer to your question is yes. What I'm trying to think about which cards and if they're relevant at this time. It's where I'm at, but yes, the answer would be yes.
I could definitely see GX, because the way you have to think about that ability is really where it shines, in my opinion. I think that, like, you have to think of it less as moving one damage, but rather creating a discrepancy of 20 damage where you need it, because you're healing something and you're dealing 10 to something. And like, whether that's, you know, sniping off an opponent's Pokemon over 2 turns or 3 turns, or, you know, taking care of, you know, or putting extra damage on Pokemon that need to be under a certain amount of health. Like, I think this is a really good supporter card, especially with that GX attack. I actually think Bayonet GX is going to be really good.
Okay. So you both gave me information that really turned my mind in some aspect. I totally forgot about Buzzwole and how relevant he is right now in the meta, and he is weak to Psychic, and we cannot not say that Psychic is really powerful right now. My concern was Zoroark, right? Zoroark is also very popular in today's meta, and this thing is weak to Psychic, to Darkness, so that is an issue going against itself. The one Psychic makes it really fast, and that's something that it really shouldn't be taking out of consideration whether or not this card is good. I just feel we have so many good Psychic Pokemon right now that I don't see if this is as relevant as it could be. So that's where I'm actually kind of hindering myself. It's like, this Bayonet GX, I want it to be good. I just don't know if it's Meriden. I mean, even Mewtwo GX does more direct damage. And when I mean direct damage, I mean not in the magic term. I mean in the you're going to hit for this amount, well, for sure. Well, this depends on how many porters has on your discard. Go for Gator.
Consider this for the Buzzwole matchup, though, right? We talk, like you just mentioned, we talk about being able to control the damage output. With Buzzwole as it stands right now, when you're playing the Mew from Mewtwo from Evolutions or the Mew, you're kind of reliant on them having the extra energy you need to knock them out with the Mew from Evolutions. With this, though, if you're playing it with Zoroark, you can trade away as many supporters as you can handle. Usually you're going to run 4 bridges in a deck like that, and you're trading all 4 of them if you're not using them to get set up from the first place. So I could see the hitting those relevant numbers. You only need 7 supporters in the discard pile to be taking a knockout on Buzzwole GX. So This is a tricky one for the current meta as it stands. Yeah.
This was hard to...
It's one of those complex Pokemon that it's going to take a while to see how it does, you know?
Yeah, I gotta agree with you guys. This one's tricky to rate because it does have a place, and it's gonna be one of those cards that we might not have a definitive answer until we see it in play and in the hands of amazing players that are out there right there. So I'm actually scared to give it a not very effective, which is weird for me because I'm so happy go lucky with that. Happy trigger when it comes to not very effective. Talonflame. sorry, allergies suddenly kicked off there. I'm going to give it an effective, maybe even super effective. I'm going to leave it an effective. I'm not going to jump the gun. What about you, Gator?
Super effective until September 1st.
Okay, there we go.
And then not very effective. And everything. And then it switches to not very effective for me.
Oh, okay. Because Buzzwole loses all his fighting.
Buzzwole becomes much less relevant.
Okay, that's fair. What about you, Scron?
I'm saying super effective.
Oh, this is great. I love it. So then you guys, it's funny that the two good cards that we've reviewed so far are both still inconsistent in our ratings because they're difficult to rate. So, but so far it's two, we don't know what's going on with them, and then four, just don't even own them. So, it's definitely a interesting set. Now, moving on to, since we're in Tropical Beach, let's go ahead and grab some sand. Oh, no, it's Palosand GX.
I love Palosand.
Yeah, let's see how much you love this card, though. Palosand GX is a fighting, as it should be, with 210 for a Stage 1, which is okay by me. Now it has three attacks. It's first, Eerie Light for one fighting and double colorless. 60 damage, your opponent active Pokemon is now confused. You have Life Absorb, which is its second attack for two fighting and two colorless. 100 damage, and then it heals 20 from this Pokemon. And finally, you got Sand Fear GX for the same amount as Life Absorb for 60 times damage. Look at the top 13 cards of your opponent's deck. Discard as many Pokemons you find there as you like. This attack does 60 damage for each Pokemon you discarded. Your opponent shuffles the remaining cards back into their deck. Weakness to grass. Retreat cost of 4. Who wants to start on this one?
I'll go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Fighting a double colorless for 60 damage is way too expensive, even if you're causing confusion. I can do that for one psychic on a Espeon. Two fighting and a double colorless for 100 damage is way too expensive. 20 damage is irrelevant. And then that GX attack? Way too expensive. Yeah. That damage is irrelevant. Retreat cost of 4. This card's bad and it should feel bad. this is Komo-O GX bad.
Oh, wow. God, I remember what I had, like, three of those in my...
That's throwing some major shade, sis. I'm just saying. Like, I don't think it's that bad. Like, I think its first two attacks are absolutely awful. I think its Sandfear GX, that has the potential to do 780 damage. That's crazy. Like,
you're also discarding your opponent's Pokemon.
I tell you what, I will play a fighting weak deck against you running this and still feel okay about the matchup. That's how bad I think this is.
So, yeah, I do agree with Scrawn in that its GX attack is not too shabby. Remember, it's not just the damage, it's that you're discarding your opponent's Pokemon from 13 cards. That's what? That's almost a fifth? One fifth? Of your opponent's deck, that's a lot of cards that you're going through. So you're discarding a lot of his Pokemon that he might actually need to play. However, at the cost of two fighting and two colorless, why? At that point, you just power up something that can swipe and just kill Pokemon in your opponent's hand. It's too expensive. Fighting is, like Gator alluded to in the last review, fighting is losing a lot of support on the rotation. And I don't see how this is going to be able to see some play. So that's a not very effective on my end as well. Gator?
I forget what's the terminology when it's like immune to the attack.
not effective.
It's like
it just, didn't it's affect. Immune.
Yeah, this had no effect. This has no effect.
What about you, Scron?
I would say that it is normally effective, but heavy balls rotating out, so I'm just kind of like meh. So like halfway in between not very effective and effective. It's still a bad card, don't get me wrong, but like I'm majorly excited by the potential to do 780 damage with an attack.
And I love it. Enough. So there you go. You got two not very effective. Wait. No, you got one not very effective, one don't even try this, and one effective.
Just not effective. Just don't even play this card. Go. If you pull this card, trade it away immediately. Like, so bad. Gosh.
It is.
I would rather pilot a Mr. Mime deck at this point than play this deck.
Jeez. Oh, that hurts Palo San in the...
Wow.
I mean the Mr. Mimes from, like, Generations. The one that's just got the bench barrier ability. Not even the GX Mr. Mime. Like, just give me that deck.
Wow.
Wow. Sorry, Palo San. There you go. Now, moving on to some city rats. Take it away, Gator.
All right. So, we've got this first Pokemon, and this is only relevant because of the GX. So, Alolan Rattata has a free attack called Call the Boss, where you can search your deck for an Alolan Raticate, including Alolan Raticate GX, which is important they put that because Alolan Raticate GX and Alolan Raticate are two separate Pokemon. Mm-hmm. You search your deck for one, reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle your deck. Then we have Alolan Raticate GX. It's a stage one, a dark type with 200 hit points. For a free attack, no energy required, throw away, does 40 times damage. You discard up to two cards from your hand. This attack does 40 damage for each card you discarded in this way. So at a max, we're doing 80 for free. And then for a darkness and a DCE, Hyper Fang, 150 damage. But flip a coin. If tails, this attack does nothing. And then its GX attack is free, item miner GX. Search your deck for up to 6 item cards, reveal them, and put them in your hand, then shuffle your deck. It's weak to fighting, resists psychic, and has a retreat cost of 3.
Scron, let's start with you. What do you think about this? Well, Alolan Raticate was here, for the guys listening, just for reference, because it is important to note it for Alolan Raticate. Anything that allows you to evolve your Pokemon really fast, it's really, really important to note it.
But it's not even fast, though. You just put it in your hand. You could do the same thing with a freaking Alolan Vulpix.
Like, that's true. That's
and get true. More Pokemon with Alolan Vulpix.
That okay. is true.
So, a trend I'm seeing with all these cards is that these GXs are pretty unremarkable. But that's generally what you see in like the first set of a new rotation, is that especially if they're trying to either slow down the meta or like make sure there aren't any meta defining cards that are going to be around for the full 2 years. And that makes a lot of sense. But in short summation, this is a bad card.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be bad like the rest, and it might actually see play because everything else is bad, too. At
well,
some point,
there,
you know?
There's really good cards right now.
Yeah, but it's not going to see play now. Yeah, it's bad.
Okay. So where I stand is, do not underestimate the power of not using energies, right? You could consider and say, hey, in a theoretical world, you could have a Alolan Raticate GX deck with no energies and just put how many item cards, how many supported cards, how many anything you need or want on that deck, and do not have to even play a single energy card. And it does a consistent 80 damage for no energies whatsoever. That said, right? You should not be playing Hyper Fan at all. Ever. Not even with Flittini. At all. So we're talking about throwaway here, and it's GX attack item miner. That being said, it, 80 damage still does not hit strong enough. There's not many Pokemon out there weak to darkness right now, that relevant. And not to mention that it's weak against fighting. So Buzzwole is just going to eat this baby up like it was afternoon snack. It's... I mean, not even
pairing up with Banette so you can discard two supporter cards so Banette can hit harder. It just doesn't click for me at all. What about you, Gator?
Alright, so just a quick correction for Skron. Honestly, the cards are designed in Japan and for Japan's meta, so they really don't care what we get hit by in rotation. It's shown up time and time again. How long did we go without a card to get rid of tools? We had no tool removal for like almost an entire rotation.
Granted, Japan is getting our meta now. Yeah.
Yeah, but they might be Sun and Moon for the next 3 years or 4 years. We have no idea. They were XY forever.
No, true, but the plan, at least as far as I understand it, and we talked about it here on the show, they are synchronizing finally our metas. It's an effort to have for us to have the same meta. But you're right. We won't
have the same meta at another point too. Like that, it doesn't mean we're going to stay in sync necessarily. But anyway, that's besides the point. My point is Alolan Raticate. We do have that Alolan Raticate that came out in Burning Shadows. That for it has a free attack, which is the Enhanced Fang. It does 10, and then it does, if it has a Pokemon tool attached to it, it does 50 more. And if it's a Choice Band and you're hitting a GX or EX Pokemon, you're doing 90 for free. So that's kind of relevant. 90, and then being able to do 80. You're looking at 170, so you're hitting things like Tapu Lele GX for knockout. So theoretically, you could do something with the card, but if you're having to preface a card by saying theoretically it can do something, you're already losing the battle.
Yeah. So, Skron, what would you give this card?
Not very effective.
Yeah, not very effective for me as well. Gator?
Not very effective.
There we go, Alolan Raticate. Such potential, but nothing that we can really take advantage of. Now, I'm excited for the next two, though. Skron, you're a lucky guy. Talk about the next two.
You got it. So we got Scyther, a basic grass type with 70 HP. It has two attacks on this one. It has a one colorless attack, twin play, search your deck for up to two Scyther, and play them onto your bench, then shuffle your deck. And we got a double colorless attack, agility. It does 20 damage, and it's flip a coin. If heads, prevent all effects of attacks, including damage done to this Pokemon during your opponent's next turn. Has a weakness to fire and a retreat cost of 1. And next up, we got Scizor GX. Of course, Scyther evolves into Scizor. It's a stage 1 metal, 210 HP. Ability Danger Perception. As long as this Pokemon's remaining HP is 100 or less, this Pokemon's attacks do 80 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon before applying weakness and resistance. It has a metal and colorless energy attack for Steel Wing. Does 80 damage. Of course, that gets boosted to 160 if Danger Perception is active. And during your opponent's next turn, any damage done this Pokemon by attacks is reduced by 30. And then it has a triple colorless attack, Crosscut GX. 100 damage, of course, 180 if Danger Perception is active. And if your opponent's active Pokemon is an evolved Pokemon, this attack does 100 more damage as weakness to fire and resistance to psychic and a retreat cost of 1.
God, this is an interesting card and set. Gator, let's start with you this time around. What do you think of Scyther and Scizor GX?
Okay, the thing that comes to my mind when I think about this card is Whelmed. I'm not underwhelmed, but I'm not overwhelmed. I'm just kind of whelmed.
okay.
okay, so Scyther having water duplicates basically is good, but it's not as good as water duplicates because water duplicates get you 3 Frogadier instead of 2 Scyther. Having the Scizor and the Scyther be theoretically splashable in any kind of deck because the Scyther having the colorless attack and the Scizor's GX being colorless is pretty interesting. However, if we're talking about the worrying about your being dealing with an opponent being able to modify your numbers, it's Steel Wing is 80 damage for a metal and a colorless. That's underwhelming. Crosscut GX is 100 for 3 colorless, which is underwhelming. So it's overwhelming to be hitting for 160 for a metal and a colorless, and it's overwhelming to be hitting for potentially 280 damage if you have 100 less HP or less and they're an evolved Pokemon. But when you put it all together, I'm just kind of whelmed.
Okay, fair enough. What about you, Skron?
I think it's great. I love this. I think that with like danger perception and all of the, you know, support we're getting for things that are lower on HP, this is just really, I think it will have a lot of people make decks of it, at least at first. And it's going to take a minute before, like, especially when we get some fire attackers out before it, you know, starts dying down. But I think at first, this is going to be one of the more popular things in the set. I love its ability greatly. I think it has a lot of potential. I especially love how Scyther works with it.
Yeah,
I think that's really nice. Where it goes, though, I'm not really sure, but it's definitely better than the other stuff in the set, or most of the stuff.
I'm right there with you. I really like the card. I really do like everything it does. Now, granted, having to be under 100 HP is a risk, but it's a risk that it might pay off in the long run. Now, considering doing danger perception and you have the energies, you are potentially could be hitting for a maximum of 280, 310 if you have a choice ban on this bad boy. It's I understand Gitter as well, though. It's the part where you're not sure if everything this Pokemon is doing is actually merited to be able to play it. Because it does a lot of things really good, but it also has a lot of buts, right? You can deal 280 damage with that GX, but you have to be under 100. You could do a 160 and protect yourself from 30 damage coming back, but you'd still need to be under 100. Metal is a good type, though, to have right now. But there's not many things out there super effective that are weak to metal unless they're ice, which we'll have to discuss with Articuno, which is it's a problem. I kind of have to agree with Gator that part. It's the whelm part. It's like it sounds so great and it's exciting, and let us not forget it's resistant to psychic, which psychic right now is pretty prevalent, and it's weakness to fire, which is not prevalent. And its retreat because of one is pretty decent. Not to mention that Scyther is a Frogadier with one less Frogadier, with one less Scyther.
Mm-hmm.
So many.
It's a lot like the Mega Scizor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Mega Scizor was like it was half decent, but it never saw any results. Like what it did was really good if you could get it out, but there is just other things that were better.
Yeah. I'm not willing to give it a not very effective because again, so many good things. It's just I don't know. So I'm gonna give it an effective. Gator.
I'm going to say not very effective.
Okay.
When cards like Silvally GX out there, you know, not really seeing play, and there's other really just better GXs that don't see any play, I don't see why this sees any play.
Go. Run.
I think cards like this are going to bring cards that are currently in rotation, like Damage Mover, and the like usage of stuff like Bayonet, maybe, like, honestly, I'm not sure, but I'm leaning towards the more super effective side. I understand your guys' concerns, but I think this is really good. Mm-hmm. Really quite good.
No, yeah, there we go. So we got an effective, not very effective, and a super effective for Scizor GX. Guys, it's up to you listening, or those of you who are not, to prove us wrong and see if this card is actually really, really good. Now, we're going to move from Scizor GX, and we're going to move on to a Ultra Beast, and that's Stakataka GX. That's a mouthful, and let's see how this bad boy measures. It's a basic metal Ultra Beast with 180 HP. Now, Ultra Beast is important as a type of card because we have a lot of Ultra Beast support going around the meta as Beast Energy and other types of cards that affect Ultra Beast in particular. Its ability, Ultra War. Any damage done to your Ultra Beast by an opponent's attack is reduced by 10. So this is basically a reversed Ready Rock EX, which allowed you all your fighting Pokemon to have 10 extra damage when they're in play. This protects you, which is very metal of it, from 10 to your Ultra Beast.
Very metal of it.
It is very metal. its first attack, it's Gigaton Stamp for 120 for 2 metals and 1 colorless, which is pretty standard, although albeit a little expensive. And then you have Assembly GX for the same amount, does 50 plus damage. This attack does 50 more damage for each prize card you've taken. So the better you're doing in this game, in that game, the more damage you're dealing. Weakness to fire, resistance to psychic, retreat cost of 3. Who wants to start on this one?
Me, pick me.
Go.
It's good.
Okay.
This is like an automatic include in any Ultra Beats deck. Even if you're running, the main application I see for it is being put in the Beast Box deck and mm-hmm. just to like sit on your bench with Ultra Wall. Like, while space is kind of limited, they do stack with other stock Atakas. So I could see like feasibly running like 2 or 3 of these in like every Beast Box deck, but that's just me. I actually do not like the GX attack because okay. it's not how a person should think about winning the game. A person generally should be thinking about how to come back from a bad situation, not how to improve upon a situation that you're already ahead in. Of course, it could just be seen as a late game attack that's doing, I guess, on average, 200 damage or so, which is really powerful. And it is a potentially really powerful attack. But how are you going to get, like, 2 metal energy and a colorless without, at least some moderate investment into this? I do think it will be used, but I do not think it'll be a primary attacker. I think it's going to be one of those Pokemon that sit on your bench, in a lot of decks, like what Zoroark does,
I love it. What about you, Gator?
It might have a one-of spot in a Beast Box deck, but honestly, if I'm trying to abuse metal, I'd rather have Celesteela GX or even the basic Celesteela we're going to talk about later. I'm not really impressed by reducing damage by 10. It's kind of irrelevant when it comes to what the math comes out to for a lot of attacks. That it's a wrong cost. If it was a metal and a double colorless, yes. I'd be all aboard, but yeah. 2 metal and a colorless doesn't do anything for it. It's a good game closer, because let's say you've taken, 2 knockouts on GX as you're hitting 250 on whatever comes up. Woo, you won the game. But if you're playing this card and you're able to attach that energy, it's basically win more anyway. So I'm not super impressed with it.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I understand that maybe resisting 10 is good. I would have preferred it to say, instead of Ultra Beast, to be metal Pokemon or protected for 10, because I would see this as a one-off in a Metagross deck. But in Ultra Beasts are right now the only effective Ultra Beast deck that we have is Buzzwold. Anything having to do with Buzzwold, and Buzzwold is all about doing a lot of damage as fast as you can. And that this doesn't fit with that theme. It's very defensive.
Well, we have the Beast Box deck, the Nangadel, and whatever, that does more damage for each Ultra Beast you have in play. Okay. It's basically bad Zoroark. of course, Seth Phyla is going to fight me about that. But,
oh, it's going to be a fight. So I agree with Scrawn, that GX attack. I'm 100% agree. You should prepare for you hope for the best, you prepare for the worst. You shouldn't be preparing yourself to do more damage because you're winning. You should be preparing yourself when you're losing how to get back into the game. So that makes 100% total sense. Yeah, again, it's a card where it sounds good on paper, which is quite literal because I'm holding the paper that says it. But when you put this in the meta, as Gator indicates, it's just that there's nothing here that says, ooh, this fits in X deck. Even Ultra Beast, I know it fits in an Ultra Beast toolbox, but why would you, though, right? There's other things out there that might merit a spot in your bench that is not Staka, whatever it's called. So
Staka Taka.
Yeah, I know. So with that being said, not very effective for me. What about you, Scrawn?
I think it's super effective, honestly.
Okay, no, that's great.
That's me.
And you, Gator.
Not very effective.
There we go. Not very effective twice, and then super effective. Wait, you said super effective, right? Yes, super
effective. Yeah, yeah. I think that damage reduction. Taka. It's real good.
GX. Okay, this set is it's interesting. Now we're gonna move on to the next one, and this is where its celestial part of the storm is taking place. So Gator, take it away.
All right, boys, heads up, because this is the good one. Rayquaza GX.
The best for last, at least GX-wise.
It is a basic, it is a dragon, it is 180 hit points. It has an ability called Stormy Winds. When you play this Pokemon from your hand onto your bench during your turn, you may discard the top three cards of your deck. If you do, attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to this Pokemon. For a grass, a lightning, and a colorless, it does a Dragon Break 30 times damage. This attack does 30 damage times the amount of grass and lightning basic energy attached to your Pokemon. Uh-huh. Not to this Pokemon, to your Pokemon. And for one grass, Tempest GX, discard your hand and draw 10 cards. Weak to fairy, retreat cost of 3.
I want to start on this one. Vigavolt just is falling in love with a big Sky Dragon right now. It uses exactly what Vigavolt uses. This is a basic, so it goes really well with a Vigavolt deck. Means you can substitute Tapu Bulu if you want with this. I like everything it does. It's Stormy Winds could be really good in a tight spot when you don't have any energies and you're desperate for some. Dragon Break, 30 times damage, and this attack does 30 times the amount of basic grass and lightning attached to your Pokemon. Vigavolt can make sure to really make sure to have a lot of those energies around your bench and active. And Tempest GX, it speaks for itself. You discard your hand and you draw 10 more cards. I mean, its only thing that I might have an issue with is its weakness to Fairy, but the fact that it's a dragon means that Treasure, Mysterious Treasure, is easily can find this card. I like it. I really do like it. Scrawn.
Now, as a card, I'm sick of Rayquaza, but it's a good card.
Yeah.
That ability, that's nice. That's energy acceleration, like right there. Boom. Dragon Break is incredible. Of course, you got to get that energy on there, but you already basically got a guaranteed one as long as you have an energy in your discard pile already. And, you know, Tempest GX, like, gives you that, you know, if you need to turn the tides of battle and you're in a really tough place, it's good. Fairy decks should be coming around the corner because the next set is basically fairy themed. And the retreat cost isn't so nice, but I think this will be a heavy hitter in a lot of, in at least that Vigavolt deck you're talking about. Yeah. I don't see it working in too many decks, which is nice, but I see it definitely carving out its own niche.
What about you, Gator?
Just like to point out to Scrawn that if he had jumped back into the TCG this past season, he would have not had to have seen any Rayquaza. Just bad timing on your part.
It's been a while since we had an actual good Rayquaza in Standard.
Yeah, we had a colorless one that accelerated energy out of the discard pile, but hardly any play.
Yeah.
So Rayquaza GX is a good card. Yeah. It is objectively good because of the ability. It doesn't say, you know, from the three energy discarded necessarily. It's just any energy that's already in your discard pile. So if you don't even have to really dig for the energy. It can just already be there. This pairs really well with Bulu. I don't see this being slotted into a Bulu deck. I see a Bulu as a one of no weakness attacker being slotted into a Rayquaza deck.
Yes.
I would be shocked if this isn't a deck that shows up in mass at Worlds. And this is one that is basically designed to be a card that carries the format forward. If it's teched against, it's teched against. But we have ebbs and flows when it comes to types and, you know, but the old Rayquaza EX and the Mega Ray decks had hatred on them as well. But every once in a while, the decks die down, people stop teching for it, and then it comes and surprises a tournament. This card needs to be dealt with, this needs to be considered, and you need to have a game plan for this, because it pairs really well with one of the Prism Stars we're about to talk to. And overall, this card is probably the best GX in the entire set.
Yeah.
Maybe the best GX in the last two sets.
And I'm going to say, if you don't want to pair it with Vigavolt, you can pair it with Venusaur and just have Rainbow Energy in your deck. 4 Rainbow Energies and all
no,
grass.
No. It only does it times the amount of basic grass and basic lightning. So
wait,
a Rainbow
but
is not going to help you.
No. Rainbow won't help you to do more damage. But if you have Venusaur down, which causes your basic grass energy to count for 2 instead of just 1, that's what I mean. because you're using the rainbow energy to power the attack itself. Like you would put a grass, a rainbow energy, and a colorless. But then you have
I would rather guarantee it with Vika Volt, though.
True.
Then you can guarantee the grass and the lightning.
No, for sure.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, Jushiro. Like honestly, you could run four rainbow energies and then just a whole bunch of grass.
Exactly, and then you could power it up even more because each one of your basic grass counts for two instead of one. It's what I meant. You could do that. I'm not saying that's the way to play this card. I'm just saying that's an option. And for me, which you guys have, that see my stream and are a longtime listener know that I love the more complicated and fun the deck, the better. And I totally see that happening. But yeah, this card is all around good. So super effective for me. Scrawn.
Yeah, it's super effective. Begrudgingly.
And Gator.
Super effective.
There we go. So, guys, that's it for the EGX Pokemon from this set. We're going to take a small commercial break. Once we come back, we're going to tackle the Prism Star. And then we might have a fast-paced review for all the miscellaneous non-GX, non-Prism Star cards in this deck. And you'd be surprised. They might be the actual Hero Gems on this set. Or they might not. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, Puckalonians. It's Sublime Manic. Can't get enough of your favorite flip-flopping podcast? Then check out our social media. You can find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube all from our website, PokoPodcast.com. And you can join our Discord to hang out with your favorite hosts and other Pokalonians. Also, check us out at twitch.tv/thePokoPodcast. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, consider subscribing to our Twitch channel. You can also check us out at YouTube at YouTube/PokoPodcast. And we also have a Patreon if you're able to give anything. At patreon.com/PucklePodcast.
And we are back! And still at the Celestial Storm review, part 2 of the Pokemon here. So far it's been, can't really say it's been a roller coaster ride. It's more of a downhill and some bumps in the road kind of road. So, with that being said, let's head into the Prism Stars. Scrawn, let's start with you.
Okay, we got Jirachi here. It's a basic metal 80 HP Pokemon. It has the ability Wish Upon a Star. You can use this ability during your turn. Well, I hope so. If you take this card as a face down prize card before you put it in your hand and you have room on your bench, and if you have room on your bench, play this Pokemon onto your bench, then take one more prize card.
We're really hyping this card more than it should be.
Then you got triple colorless attack, Dream of Destruction, and it does a whopping 10 damage. It has the effect, this Pokemon is now asleep. At the end of your opponent's next turn, the defending Pokemon is knocked out. As a weakness to fire, of course, resistance to psychic, and a retreat cost of 1.
Scrawn would sell a refrigerator to Obama Snow. That's... Gator, you want to start with this one?
Okay, so that ability is never going to happen unless you, like... unless you have some sort of convoluted scheme to Gladion it into your prizes.
Oh, what was...
And, like, something... I think there's another card that comes out that has some manipulation with the prizes.
I forgot. Gator, who's the player that was playing Greninja Break and got nailed on cheating? Forgot his name.
Michael Long.
Unless you're Michael Long, it's pretty difficult to get this on your prize cards.
Well, what you don't you can't have a butt Jirachi like you can have a butt Greninja. So it's different.
How was he cheating? And was like
he had a Greninja break in his lap. Yeah. Supposedly was the story. Let's not get into cheating though. There was a whole big hubbubaloo about that this past weekend.
Oh yes,
so.
I heard about that. We'll get to that.
This card is decent because you can splash it into any deck. That attack is never going to pay off because your opponent can just retreat the Pokemon.
Yeah, boost by
the thing. And so it's a gimmick. Just like any other gimmick, it's as good as you can make it. But if your deck is so bad that you're playing these gimmicks, then the odds of you taking all six prizes against me are a lot lower.
The Wish Upon a Star sounds great until you remember this is a Prism Star, which means you can only have one of. It's not like Talonflame. You could have four, and then at least one of them, if it makes it to either your hand in Talonflame or if it was Jirachi on your prizes, then fantastic. However, that's not going to happen when you just have one of these cards in your deck. It's relatively impossible for it to happen. Like Gator says, Guzma is a thing, Switch is a thing, anything that gets you out of... Acerola is a thing. So that dream of destruction is never going to pay off. I see no reason to play Jirachi in any deck, honestly. It won't ever pay off. I mean, if you're looking for it to pay off one game out of 100, maybe. Otherwise, well, I
statistically, one game out of 10.
Okay, there we go. One game out of 10. Scrawn.
And that's assuming your bench is clear.
Okay, so in order for me to make a rating here, I need to ask our resident TCG judge a few questions. So Dream of Destruction, the way it's worded, it makes it sound like even if the defending Pokemon switches out, whichever one is in the defending slot is going to be the one that's knocked out, right?
No. So this would place an effect on the defending Pokemon, since it's talking about the defending Pokemon, because the defending Pokemon is the one that is the receiving of the attack.
So if it's placing they an effect switch on. Out, it goes away, or does it
yes,
stay
any,
on?
Yes, any effects away. On a Pokemon goes away when they hit the bench.
If it
okay, this
if
card
it,
is bad.
Yeah, if it would have said your opponent's active Pokemon is knocked out, then that's what you are thinking, Scrawn. That means like whatever your opponent's active Pokemon it is, that means that one's going to be knocked out. But since it's defending Pokemon, it means it should have been in the defensive on your turn or on your opponent's turn. So that means that if your opponent switch it out, it's no longer the defending Pokemon. It is the opponent's active new Pokemon.
Yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, it really is. So there you go, guys. Not very effective for poor old Jirachi Prism Star. Now, moving on to the next one, that's Latias. Now, Latias is a basic dragon with 130 HP. It has one attack. For one colorless, Dream Mist 30 damage. Attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to each of your bench Pokemon. Kind of confused. Each of your bench basic dragon Pokemon, by the way.
Basic dragon or basic normal? Is that what that is?
It's dragon.
And it's dragon.
Yeah, and it's dragon because D is darkness.
D is colorless.
Yeah, and C is colorless, which is normal. It's weakness to fairy and a reduced cost of 1. So I'm confused at the writing of this card. Attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to each of you. That means that you keep grabbing basic energy cards from your discard pile and keep putting it on your basic dragon as long as you have those energies in the discard pile. Our resident judge says...
You attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to each of your bench basic dragon Pokemon. So if you have 5 dragon, you can attach 5. You do as much as you can. So if you've only got... You've got 4 dragon on the bench and 2 energy. You attached to 2 of them of your choice.
Interesting. For 1 colorless. Okay.
So this automatically included in the Rayquaza deck.
Yes. Okay. That's what I thought. That's really powerful. That's really powerful. 1 colorless, 30 damage. It would have been powerful if it didn't do any damage. It's doing 30 damage, which is the standard for things like baby Yveltal and the Registeel that does the same thing for steel metal energies, and your discard pile does 30 damage to your opponent. It's multiple energies to all of your basic dragons. I can't say that's bad. I just don't know how many, other than Ultra Necrozma and, of course, Rayquaza. I mean, I already said everything that I needed to say. Those are 2 powerful cards, so go ahead, Big Gator.
Yeah, so being able to splash into either of those decks is really good. But it's even more broken in Rayquaza, because remember, Rayquaza does 30 damage times the amount of energy attached to all of your Pokemon.
God, that's right.
So, therefore, if you are able to hit... this is an unrealistic scenario, because obviously you're going to have a Tapu Lele or something on bench. But let's say in the magical world of this game that we're imagining, you have 5 dragon Pokemon on your bench. You're effectively now accelerating your damage to be 150 damage on the next turn you attack with a Rayquaza.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like, you guys have my thoughts in mind. I think this is a really good card. It's sort of like the Xerneas with Geomancy card that used to be around a lot. In this case, I really like other aspects of its design. I like 130 HP is a reasonable amount for not GX Pokemon, and I like how it has a 1 cost attack and a 1 cost retreat cost.
Yeah.
So you can get it out of there and use its attack.
Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna give it a super effective. It's just you only need 1, and you can only play 1 since it's a Prism Star. It's if you're playing dragon, if you're playing Rayquaza, it's a powerful attack for one colorless. It has a decent amount of HP, so it won't be knocked out one hit for most things, because most things hit for 110 or 120, but there's a lot of things out there that hit 130 as well, so do not sleep on that. And it's really good. Gator.
Yeah, super effective.
And Scrawn.
Super effective.
There you go. Latias, baby, you're doing super effective across the board. Prism Star goes, this definitely is one worth playing. Can we say the same for its twin brother, Latios? No. Take it away.
So it's a basic dragon with 140 HP. Patriarchy much? Excuse me? Instead of 130 HP. I'm just messing around. Anyway, it's got a double colorless attack, Dragon Fleet, 50 times damage. It does 50 damage times the number of Dragon Evolution Pokemon you have in play. That'd be stage 1s and stage 2s. And that has a weakness to fairy and a retreat cost of 1.
And that's where it lost me. And it's the number of Evolution Pokemon in play. How many Dragon Pokemon we have right now in the meta that evolve?
Gudra.
Oh, Garchomp doesn't even count as a dragon, does he?
Garchomp, it does, but no one
there plays that version. There is a dragon version.
Yes, no one plays that version. People play the fighting, because that's the one you should be playing, the fighting version. there's no real... We just mentioned two really powerful dragon types, and they're both basic Pokemon with no evolution, which is Ultra Necrozma and Rayquaza GX. They don't evolve. You're not really taking advantage of anything here. So unless you really, really, really want to play Dragon-type Garchomp, which I have no idea why would you.
Okay, so...
This is not worth
if
it.
I think that there is a one deck you can play this in where it is good, and it's a deck that doesn't run like any GXs, so you can get prize card advantage. You just run whatever stage 2 dragon types you can with full sets of rare candies like Komoa or Gudra or whatever. I don't know those cards, but I think that if you have them on your bench, then this could really go up there in the damage, and you can outprize your opponent.
I would agree, but this is a Prism Star. Can only have one. So if this wasn't a Prism Star and you could have four of, maybe, I would still say not really. But since this is a Prism Star as a one-off in this deck, I don't see how you can take advantage of that. Gator.
If this was not a Prism Star, this would be an absolute game changer of a card. Just being able to put out that kind of damage on a basic with 140 hit points, which is really hard to reach for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But as it is what it is, and there is no good evolution dragon Pokemon, for right now, it is not very effective.
Yeah, the only thing that my people might be screaming at the radio right now would be the Noiburn GX.
If you're screaming that, you're bad.
No one's really playing that card right now. That's one example of a really good card in text. You read the card and you're like, oh my god, Noibat GX is really good, but then you realize that really right now it's not seeing play because it's just not that good in today's meta. And Latios really just does not take advantage of that, even that. So not very effective across the board for little old Latios. I'm so sorry. Let's go ahead. And now we start the miscellaneous Pokemon. Now, these are all the Pokemon that are non-Prism Star and non-GX, but they still caught our eye, either by being really good or really bad. So let's see how they really rate. Now, Gator, do you want to take out the first one?
This is probably the best one, too.
Yeah.
Magcargo. It is a Stage 1 Fire-type, 90 hit points. It has an ability, Smooth Over. Once during your turn, before you attack, you may search your deck for a card, shuffle your deck, then place that card on top. It also has an attack that doesn't matter, and a weakness that doesn't matter, and its retreat cost of 3.
I love that I'm here building some suspense, saying ooh, maybe these cards are worth it or not, and Gator's like, no, this is the only good one, the first one.
No, the other ones are good, but this is the best.
Okay.
This is the best non-GX, non-Prism.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't gloss over the attack, because remember how many things have fire-type weaknesses in the set. So that's basically 100 damage.
You're not running this in any fire decks. You're not running any fire energy. Exactly. You're running this in Zoroark
Zoroark or anything with Acrobite. like, which we could not forget that this is being, Acrobite is being repainted in this set. So anything with Acrobite, Acrobike can take advantage of Macargo. It doesn't have to be Zoroark alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's be honest, it's going to be Zoroark. Zoroark, this is a free Mallow. So this is an easily card that replaces Octillery in a lot of decks. Mm-hmm. Whereas Octillery, you want to draw the 5, but it's a similar space for it. It's a 90 HP stage 1 with a hefty retreat cost. That retreat of 3 could be relevant. You could be stalled out with that, but I mean, this card's fantastic. So yeah. I would not worry about that. Not if you're running Guzmas like you should.
Yeah, this is such a good ability. You can grab whatever you want and make it your next card on your deck, either by drawing it or forcing a Pokemon to draw it, like Zoroark or whatever you're playing at the moment. It's really, really good. Never underestimate the power of searching whatever you want on a deck. Especially when you can do it every turn. So Macargo
with multiple Pokemon. Like even, you can have multiple Macargo set up.
That is true. You can have 2 Macargos and 1 Zoroark, and you're drawing 2 specific cards every turn. So that's a lot of power. I don't know if Spider-Man would agree that one should have that much responsibility. Scrawn, what do you think?
I think it's great. Yeah. Like honestly, like the way I think is that I'm gonna run this in a deck where I'm running 4 rainbow energy as well and a double colorless, just in case you do need to use that combustion attack. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think it's good in so many ways. Honestly, is this the retreat cost isn't very pretty, but like again, Guzma is a thing. Exactly. So
and if you guys at home are thinking, but it has 90 HP and that's so low. Well, Malamar has that same amount of HP, and people are playing that nonstop. So Macargo is definitely a great
also,
card.
Also, it's 1 prize. Like, who cares if it's 90 HP? Exactly. Like, that's not what it's there for.
Its power, its ability really outweighs any bad that this card has at the moment. Really powerful card, so I don't even have to ask. Super effective across the board. Guys, this is a 4 of... Buy 4 of this card once it's released, because you really... This is a card that is going to see a lot of play. Really excellent Macargo.
But literally give it just a few weeks, because this card was going to drop in price. Like,
yeah.
It's not
don't buy it on day 1, because it could be overly priced. That's 100%. And it's not even a GX. Or a Prism Star, so it's not going to be that expensive.
I don't even know. Did it get printed at rare or uncommon? Like that'll determine.
I'm pretty sure it's a rare, which still doesn't. I mean, rare Pokemon are not that expensive.
No, not with the way they print sets nowadays.
Yeah. So we're gonna move on, my boy Scrawn. Take Dr. Shimu was. By the way, Dr. Shimu was going to be on today's episode. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. The part of Dr. Shimu is going to be played by Scrawn, talking about none other than Oricorio. Take it away.
Does this mean I have to do the voice?
No, okay. No, you don't have to.
Oricorio. It's a basic electric type with 90 HP. It has an electric energy with sparkling pom-poms. This attack does 30 damage for each Pokemon GX and Pokemon EX in play. Don't apply weakness and resistance for bent Pokemon. Has an electric energy and double colorless attack, Lightning Ball. 70 damage, has a weakness to lightning for some reason, has resistance to fighting, and a retreat cost of 1.
This is literally just here for that first attack, though. Being able to do 30 to each Pokemon GX and Pokemon EX, there is a spread deck out there somewhere that is going to love this card.
Yep. But notice that it says this attack does 30 damage to each GX and EX in play, not your opponent's EX and GX. All GX and EX in play. So you're playing Oricorio for that, you better not be playing Tapu Lele or anything.
Honestly, though, it just really depends. Like, you are in charge of building your deck. You can mitigate this risk, so.
But you can mitigate it, but would you mitigate? It's like, is there someone out there listening to this show saying, I could play Tapu Lele in this deck, but I shouldn't because I'm going to play Oricorio and I want to deal maximum damage. I don't think that's going around in anyone's brain right now. You would play Tapu Lele over Oricorio any day of any day. So I don't see any plus on this card at all. It doesn't do enough damage. Everyone's playing GX, and if you're not playing GX, it means you're not playing Tapu Lele. which already puts you on a disadvantage. So for me, not very effective on my boy Oricorio. What about you, Scrawn?
So I'm going to give this a normally effective rating. I think that it has potential in the right decks, but again, you're dealing damage to your own stuff if you're running common stuff like Tapu Lele or Zoroark. Also, I love that it has a lightning weakness. That's just hilarious.
It is hilarious. What about you,
Peter? This is super effective. You can pair it with a bunch of different things, including that Necrozma GX. So there is a spread deck out there somewhere, and I won't be surprised to see that for Worlds.
I totally forgot about the spread deck, and that bumps it up a little bit for me. I think I'm going to give it an effective, because you just convinced me that, yes, spread decks are a thing, and that could actually be really useful for Oricorio. Now, we're going to move on to the next one, and that's Beldum. Take it away, Gator.
Beldum!
So, Beldum, it's a basic metal with 60 hit points. Nothing else matters except for this. As the ability says, Conductive Body. As long as this Pokemon is your active, its retreat cost is one colorless less for each Beldum on your bench. Ooh. So all of your Metagross gets better. And speaking of Metagross, we have one of those as well. The Metagross is a Stage 2 metal Pokemon with 170 hit points with the ability Extend. If this Pokemon is your active Pokemon and you play Steven's Decision from your hand, your turn doesn't end. Reminder, Steven's Decision ends your turn when you play it. So with that, you can basically just get all the benefits from Steven's Decision and keep going.
Yep. It has an reminder, attack. Oh, go ahead. Finish it up.
I was going to say, see, it's got one metal for the attack, 60 damage. During your next turn, that attack does 60 more damage, weak to fire, resistance to psychic, retreat cost of 4, but you're basically just playing it for the ability.
Yes, so for those of you at home that don't remember, we reviewed Steven's Decision on the last episode, and we figured out that it's amazing, because Steven's Decision is search your deck for any 3 cards and put it on your hand, and you end your turn. Now, having Metacross in your bench, or in active in any way, means that you don't have to end your bench. Means that Steven Decision is the power of 3 computer search without discarding any cards just by having this one Metagross on your bench. And that's a lot of power for one card. Searching any three, no requirements, no basic energy, no basic Pokemon, no evolution Pokemon, no. Any 3 cards you want from your deck. And it's a supporter that you can play multiple times because you gotta have 4 of them, and you can never end your turn as long as you have at least one of these Metagross in play. And let me remind you once again that Metagross GX is an actual active deck that is in play right now. This is amazing. Scrawn, what do you think?
I think it's pretty good. That's all again, you see that fire weakness, so it's just gonna...
Oh, but yeah, all Metagross are weak to fighting. So if you're playing a Metagross deck, you have to deal with that fire weakness anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is good because Steven's Decision is obviously a really good card, this way you can also attack as well. It's really nice. Again, if you're running these, then you're probably going to be dedicating a large portion of your deck to either the full evolution line or to the rare candy, you know, kit. Yeah. I think that it might be worth it at some points. You know, it's one of those cards that I think that will definitely be better when more fairy types are in the meta, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. What about you, Gator?
That Beldum is nice. It's an upgrade to the Beldums we have now. I think Steven's Decision is a bad card until we get rid of N.
You
it's like Magical Ribbon with a Sylveon. Like, oh, wow, Sylveon doesn't automatically win because it Magical Ribboned, and you're not automatically winning with a Steven's Decision because I'm going to end you the next turn.
If you're playing Metagross, you don't have to worry about N. And after rotation, you don't have to worry about N.
If this Metagross is in your active with its 4 retreat cost, like, what's the... You're not attacking the next turn anyway. How are you going to retreat it? You're going to have to go use your Steven's Decision to get a Float Stone at least, so that limits you to 2 cards
float
now.
Float Stone will be, unfortunately, rotated out. That's a good point.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like it's not great. So, no, I don't think this is great, and I think this is gimmicky at best.
I'm a little bit more hyped not hyped. My optimism about this card. Yes, you do have to have it in your on your active, but again,
please tell me more about all the Zygarde decks you see running Bonnie that you see all the time now, and that's taking all the tournaments.
True, but to be fair, Bonnie just allows you to use Zygarde using its GX deck more than once, and Zygarde's GX are not that good.
But my point is, it's a gimmick. Like, it's still gimmicky.
True, but would you say that Computer Search is gimmicky?
No, because Computer Search is independent of anything else that happens on your turn.
True. Would you say Kyogre is gimmicky?
Yes.
Fair enough.
yes, I would.
we are all thinking individuals with our own formulated opinions based on our own experiences, yep. And I think we'll figure this out at some point because of what happens.
Definitely, and that's the point of this podcast, is that we have all opinions of it, and I'm going to be a little bit more hype on it, a little bit more optimistic. I'm going to say I like Metacross. I like Steven's decision. I think it's a really powerful card. I'm going to give it a super effective. Go for Sustron.
I'm going to give it an effective.
And go for Gator.
Even if I'm running a Metagross GX, I'm not running this. Not very effective.
Okay, there we go. Not very effective, effective, and super effective for Metagross. Normal Metagross. So, we're going to move on to the next one, and that is Celesteela. Take it away, Scron.
Celesteela! We got a basic metal Ultra Beast. This is not Celesteela GX, just so you know. So if you were to have Stakataka, you get the, you know, of course, buff from that and various other Ultra Beast buffs if they come out or if they are already out. Okay, so anyway, this has one attack, it has a metal, and then quad colorless attack, Moonraker. It does 160 damage, and it says if the total of both players' remaining prize cards is 6, this attack's cost is metal. Just one metal. And it has a weakness to lightning and a resistance to fighting and a retreat cost of 4.
Let's go with Gator first. Gator.
Super situational, but also kind of busted if you played at the right time.
Okay. Yeah. Go for strong.
He said it.
yeah.
Basically. Like, if you play this, if you're going second and you have this out and, like, you just get that first turn 160 damage, that can be game-defining.
Could be.
Yeah.
No. It's not first turn. It's the total of both remaining prize cards is 6. So you would either need to be 1-5, 3-3, or 2-4.
Yeah. Oh, total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a total of everyone. So it's a one-off. Okay. Yeah, it's a one-off in your metal deck if you can make the metal.
Oh, I see now. Okay, it's a little worse now.
yes.
But I no, it's a lot worse now. Yeah, I don't like this anymore. Yeah. I'm uncomfortable with this card.
I still like it. I've been in plenty of situations where it's been 1-5, 3-3, or 2-4. So I'm still down for it.
It has the potential of coming out of nowhere with one metal energy and knocking out something at least 190 if it has that choice span on it. So it shouldn't be taking into... it shouldn't be just crossed out, but I'm going to give it an effective Gator.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an effective because I think this is a great one-of in metal decks.
Yeah, and Scron.
I think it's bad. That's not very effective. Like, you're going to use that attack once, twice, maybe. Like, that's a maybe on the twice.
Yeah.
It's just bad. It's just taking up space, honestly, in my opinion.
There we go. So two effective, one not very effective for Celesteela. And now we're going to head into the lightning round, ladies and gentlemen. We got 3 cards we're going to discuss real quick. So these are the rules. You guys are going to give your short description on why this card, make your case of why this card is merits the rating you're going to give it. You're going to give your rating at the end of it. And we're going to move on to the next person and so forth. So these next 3 cards, we're going to start with Deoxys. I'm going to read it real fast, and you guys going to review it. Basic, Psychic, 120, 2 attacks. First, Psychic for 20-plus damage. This attack does 20 times the energy attached to your opponent's back to the Pokemon for 2 colorless. And then Power Blast for 120, 2 Psychics and 1 colorless. Discard 1 energy from this Pokemon. Witness Psychic. Retreat cost of 1. Gator.
This is a functional reprint of the Mewtwo from Evolutions. When we're going to lose that in rotation, we're going to lose all of our easy fighting tech attackers. This is a great card to include anytime fighting gets strong in the meta. This is super effective for me.
Scrawn.
It's a tech card. It's always going to find its place, I think, as a one of or a two of in certain metas. I'm going to give it an effective.
Okay, so me. So fighting is losing a lot of powerhouse in the next in the rotation. I don't know how effective it will be to have one of these in your deck if you're playing psychic. But still, it is consistent with what we know and what we already know that to be a good card. So I'm going to give it an effective as well. Moving on to the next one, Sableye, basic, dark, 70 HP, ability excavate. Once during your turn, before you attack, you may look at the top, the card on the top of your deck, put that card on top of your deck again, or discard that card. Its second attack, its first attack and only attack, it's disabled for one colorless, 10 damage, but you choose one of your opponent's active Pokemon attacks. That Pokemon can't use that attack during your opponent's next turn. Weakness to none, retreat cost of one. Scrawn, you take this one first.
I think with stuff like stuff using the discard pile like Rayquaza, it's going to see a little bit of play, and in general, it's just really good to start with, maybe, in some decks. I'm kind of iffy on it because it is kind of slow, but it does help you, and deck engines are generally really effective. I'm going to give it an effective because I'm not really sure where this card's going to go.
Okay, go for Gator.
It's got the typical Sableye problem where it does something really interesting, but who cares? It's one of those things where there's nothing really that wants it right now, nothing that needs it right now, and I really wish they would just reprint Trick Shovel so I could do this to myself or my opponent. Very effective.
Okay, so this reminds me of Bennett, double lowercase EX, which is the deck I used to play back in the old days of Pokemon TCG, and it had the same ability. You never underestimate the ability to look at the top card and decide whether or not you want it or not. However, it is less effective attack-wise than Bennett lowercase EX. But Disable shouldn't be taken not into consideration because many Pokemon, many GXs have ability, an attack, and a GX. So being able to lock out that one attack that they could do if they already played that GX is something that might not be might be actually really good. So I'm going to give it a straightforward effective for this. So it's two effective, one not very effective for Sableye. And last, but certainly, or definitely least, is Kecleon. Basic, colorless, 80 HP. I got really excited there for a second. Ability, unit color 2. If this Pokemon it has a unit energy of lightning, psychic, and metal attached to it, this Pokemon is type becomes lightning, psychic, and metal. Its slash attack for 80 damage costs 3 colorless, and its weakness to fighting. Retreat costs of 1. Gator, you first.
Okay, so there's going to definitely be another one printed that has the fairy unit energy, so this makes this a very splashable Pokemon. Doing 80 for 3 colorless is real bad, but if you consider that it's hitting for weakness for 3 colorless, depending on what deck you have it in, 160 is pretty good. If you're actually hitting for weakness, then you're hitting for 220 with it, so that makes it real good. I think this is probably one of the coolest splashable Pokemon I've seen in a while. Not very effective.
Scrawn.
I think it's... I'm not going to bother. I don't like it. I'm going to say not very effective.
I don't like it either. It requires 2 special energies to work. I don't want to attach 2 special energies to any one Pokemon. So not very effective for me as well. Kecleon, you're interesting, but apart from that, we won't see any play. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's the end of Celestia Storm review. We've made it. We've done it. But still, one more thing is left. We're going to overall give our review for the whole set. So we're going to start with Gator. Give a quick description as to why you're giving the whole set from 10 to 1 your review. Go ahead.
Okay, so if you have a birthday in December like I do, you tend to have your birthday combined with Christmas a lot of the time. So you have these relatives that'll show up with like a half-assed birthday present and then like a half Christmas present and give it to you. That's what I feel like when I read Rayquaza and then read the rest of the cards in this set. It felt like having a December birthday. So this set is not very effective.
There we go. So out of 10, though, what would you give it?
Do I have to give it numbers?
How many Pokeballs? We've done that so far, so
I want to keep the tradition. I know, but, like, I don't want to give it anything, though, because it's not giving me anything. So I guess I'd give it, like, 4 or 5 Pokeballs, and it's only getting that because of Rayquaza.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. Scrawn.
You know, I like the flavor in this set so much, and it's a rotation set. I think it's trying to mesh both with stuff that's already going to be in the meta and stuff that's going to be in the meta a year from now. It's really hard to say, like, where these cards are going to be in the future. I think a lot of the cards are really cool concepts. I don't think they're good right now, but I think they can be good eventually. So I'm going to actually give this set a 6.5 Pokeballs, like 6 Pokeballs and then 1 Pokeball that was ripped in half.
There's no way the set is better than average, though. This is that 6.5 is better than average. Better than average?
I have seen some bad sets, mate. Like, I think that they're being pretty nice with some of the stuff they're giving us right off the bat. Honestly,
I was gonna say so. Comparing this set is really hard. I like the comparison Scrawn made,
where I also do like a lot of the trainers, like especially Tate and Liza. Like that's
yeah, Tate and Liza. I like that one as well.
The trainers are okay. I'd still rather have it in Sycamore still, but
yeah, I would say from a rating from Evolutions to Guardian Rising, this is a little bit better than Evolution. But then again, Dead Rat, a Rokio Rat, would be better than Evolutions. So I'm going to give it also a 5.
Just you know, that's right really there. Funny because Evolutions also printed a card that ended your turn immediately after getting to draw cards. So, prophetic yeah. of you.
There we go. So there you go, guys. Celestial Storm, not as hyped, not as good as we thought it was going to be. Really has a lot of bad cards. Has a few gems. It has one really good card in Rayquaza, and its trainer cards are pretty decent, but nothing out of this world. So, that being said, guys, that's it. This is the end of the episode, the end of the review. Thank you so much for listening. If you guys like what you hear, please go ahead and follow us in all of our multiple social media. We got our Twitter account at Puckle Podcast. We got our Facebook, both groups. We have Puckle Podcast as our facebook.com/PucklePodcast and facebook.com/PuckleTCG are both Facebook groups when it comes to Puckle. And also, if you guys got the money, if you guys are able to, please donate on our Patreon. Every cent that you guys donate goes right back at Puckle. That's how we are managed to do all these tournaments and give you fantastic prizes. That's how we manage to get good equipment so you guys can have a decent quality podcast. And that's how we make PuckleCon happen and give you fantastic prizes there as well. So please, yeah, if you can, go ahead.
Yeah, we don't get paid for this.
Yes, none of us get
everything,
paid for this.
Everything you give for the Patreon goes straight back to Puckle. We're just making this. We do this because it's fun. We do it so we can get more stuff back to you guys.
Exactly. And of course, if you guys are not already part of it, please, please, please go to our Discord channel. The link to it is always on our description bar. There, you can always find someone to either talk, trade, battle Pokemon, either TCG, VGC, or whatever. In our Discord channel, where all of our Pokalonians are always there, willing and able to help and just be your friend. So
yeah, come to the TCG chat, you nerds. We have a whole channel for this. We have a whole channel that's just devoted to like dumping a deck list and getting it critiqued, or if you made something cool and showing it off. Like, we hang out there. There's a conversation going on literally every day. You don't even have to participate. Just come lurk if you want to.
Yeah, you can lurk and you can find one time that there's a topic that you want to actually be involved in. So please, please go ahead and go to our Discord channel. You find that it's going to be an amazing community to be a part of.
Jushiro's being too humble. Hold on. You got to do this. Jushiro streams for us like every Monday, and he does an excellent stream on the Puckle channel on our Twitch. And if you haven't had a chance to come out and watch it, it is a great time. He is always interactive. He does an extremely good job representing our community and reaching out. So if you have that opportunity, go to the Twitch and watch Jushiro. And if you have a little bit of extra money, or if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you can get a free Twitch Prime subscription if you have an Amazon Prime subscription. If you just throw that our way, it helps us. Any little bit helps. But for real, though, go support Jushiro when he's streaming. He does an excellent job.
You melt my heart so much. it is the end of our episode, unfortunately. And with that being said, Gator, as always, my friend, I love you having on.
Yeah, it's you know, things have been busy. It's been hard to see you guys, but you can always catch me in the Discord. So if you don't get enough Gator from here, you can find me online hanging out with my Puckalonian friends.
We'll try to always make this happen. Scrawn, it warms my heart to have you back on this channel, because really, we need you. Thank you for being here.
It is my pleasure. It was really fun.
And for those of you at home that are listening, thank you so much. It is obviously closing time. You can already hear the sweet melody of Bo's song. And with that, I leave you guys. Keep on TCGing. And until next time, keep on TCGing. Have a good night.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.